hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and this evening, the views of our guest, and we will not ask for calls. If we do, why? Fine, but I doubt very much we will. You know, the president has over and over said that we are over in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting terrorism because we're better off fighting terrorism on the streets of Baghdad rather than the streets of New York, which is a great slogan, but if you stop and you think about it, are we really fighting, terrorism over there? Are we fighting people who look upon America as invaders of their country? They know that when the United States had moved into Baghdad back in 2003 and we had everything secure, instead of turning the government over to the Iraqi people locally who could have taken control and leaving the structure of society intact, we destroyed the Iraqi army. We disbanded the Iraqi police force. We disbanded the Iraqi civil service. And we created the chaos that was there. And then when, of course, Major General Paul Eaton was assigned the task of rebuilding an Iraqi army, the Defense Department steadfastly refused to give him either the equipment or the personnel needed to create a force to create stability in Iraq. So are we really fighting terrorism over there? Because if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, why is it that the Bush administration has steadfastly refused to seal our southern border, has done everything they could to oppose arming of airline pilots, has airline marshals on less than 10% of our planes, doesn't even bother to check the cargo going onto our planes? Is it possible that we're really not being told the entire truth about what's going on? Well, with us this evening is a gentleman who feels that we have been lied to consistently. His name is Alex Jones. He's a nationally known talk show host, and I'm proud to have him as a friend. Alex, thank you so very much for being with Radio Liberty tonight.
Dr. Monteith, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, why don't you just pick up and tell the story? And I probably won't get another word in next to the rest of the program. You go right ahead.
Well, I mean, there's so much to discuss. There's the H.R. 6166, there's the North American Union now materializing before our eyes. There is the fake terror alerts being issued and hyped by the government and the media. I mean, there's so many areas. There's also, of course, my new documentary film.
Well, let's start off with the military commission, this new House resolution, which I think was one of the most frightening things that has ever come to pass in the 44 years I've been involved in this. Why did you start with that?
Well, H.R. 6166 passed 3 weeks ago, and Bush signed it, of course, on Monday. And H.R. 6166, we hear that it's only for Al-Qaeda, and that it's only to be used in limited cases. But we heard that with Patriot Act 1. They swore that it wouldn't be used in non-terror-related cases, though it was written very widely to change our entire rule of law and to violate many sections of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, as well as common law and the things even dating back to the Magna Carta in 1215 based on the Mosaic Law from Mount Sinai. And then, of course, they've used the Patriot Act now on thousands of non-terror-related cases. They brag about it. They admit it. It's now been all over the news. There have been federal and state rulings supposedly authorizing it in cases where people said, hey, this was just for terrorism. And it's the same thing with H.R. 6166, but it's much worse, much more egregious than the Patriot Act. And when we get back, we can get into that, but we can break down exactly what it does and how it does affect American citizens.
All right, fine. Well, I think for our listeners, this is a so-called Military Commission Act, and what it does, of course, is suspend all rights of habeas corpus for non-citizens, and there's a real question about citizens, and many people think that we will lose that right as well. Alex, go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, H.R. 6166, that was passed again 3 weeks ago, signed 4 days ago by President Bush, they use a lot of lawyer talk, a lot of doublespeak, just like Bill Clinton, as I said in your earlier program today, depends on what the word is. depends, you know, which use of it. And so they say it's not going to be used against U.S. citizens. But what they do, and it's clearly in the bill four separate times in the unconstitutional freedom-wrecking piece of legislation, H.R. 6166 states that if you don't give total allegiance to the government, that that itself is a traitorous act, and that you are then basically stripped of your U.S. citizenship, not by a court, not by a court of law, but by the president, the Secretary of Defense, or any of their designates. And then you can be basically disappeared into a black hole to be secretly tried by what really can't be called a court or even a tribunal. Evidence obtained via torture can be used. And there's also a clause in there telling the courts that they cannot challenge any of the provisions of this law. So we have the executive also telling the judiciary that it has some type of imperial or Fuhrer type of veto preemptively over any of their actions. The legislation also gives immunity to the president and all of his designates for torture and preemptive war going back to September 11, 2001. So it really is a pardon for his henchmen and his entire administration and, quote, the intelligence professionals he continues to talk about. Then they say that they're not going to torture anybody, but they used in testimony before the House and Senate, when they sent the Attorney General and others and his deputy in to testify, they used memos that they wrote in 2002, 2003 that were given to the military by then Chief White House Counsel Gonzalez and his deputy, John Yoo, stating that as long as they put pressure on somebody up until organ failure, and even if somebody dies and they didn't mean to kill them, it's okay. So up until organ failure and death, it's not torture. And that means waterboarding, drowning people, basically, making them go through the throes of death, one of the most horrifying, panic-stricken types of torture there are, one of the most severe types of torture that routinely makes people over the age of 45 have heart attacks. I mean, it's that brutal. It will trigger those because of the incredible stress. And a lot of people also drowned and can't be resuscitated.
Hold that thought there, right? Alex will be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Alex is talking about really this new legislation which is going to allow torture. And it legalizes torture, and it makes it legal retroactively, so nothing can be done to the people who have been torturing people, sometimes to death. Oh, there was in one instance in Iraq where they tortured an Iraqi general who committed no crime at all. He'd come to the police station looking for his sons. They tortured him to death over a period of many hours, you know, 20 hours or so. And the man, of course, was taken to trial. And when he was exonerated, the American, he just suffocated this man to death in a sleeping bag. Why, the court broke into cheers. Now, how do you think the Iraqi people are going to feel about that? How do you think the Muslim people are going to feel about that when we legitimize torture? And, of course, as Alex will tell you, some of the things that have been discussed in private by these people that they don't want you to know about, and the horrible forms of torture that have been used by our president, who says, well, it really depends on what torture is. It's sort of like, you know, Bill Clinton says, it's the meaning of what is. Well, here it's what torture is, and we do not approve of torture, but all of these other things, which you'll go ahead and pick that story up about how they've said that it's all right, you know, until the organs fail, and if you kill the person and you didn't mean to, then it's perfectly all right. Go ahead, Alex, please do.
Well, absolutely. This is, they use the Gonzalez and the U memos to craft this new law in testimony, and so they've simply change the definition of torture to anything short of killing someone, and then the proviso in there, but if you accidentally kill them, then it's still not torture. It's just pressure. It's just a, quote, harsh interrogation. And then on top of this, they argue that it's to keep us safe from Al-Qaeda, simultaneously 24 and Threat Matrix and CSI Miami, and there's a show called Spooks in England. They all have the same plots over and over again. We've written reports on it, shown video clips on PrisonPlanet.com of it. Almost every episode, they now torture people's children on television, and the good guys do it, and they're always right. People even torture their own children on 24 because they're now terrorists. Terrorists are everywhere. And so we see a mass warping, not just in the law, but a conditioning of the public via television. And all of this is being done as part of a really dark and sinister overall blanket as they try to warp our minds and get us to accept that. And, you know, there's the famous case of them torturing the Iraqi general to death, but they've set up death squads and death camps all over the country where they torture people to death. The Army's own report says that 75 to 95% of those taken to these camps for torture, and by the way, everyone is tortured at these police facilities over in Iraq.
And, of course, this is the police that, these are the Iraqi police that we are financing. In fact, they make up a large part of the death squads that are operating in Baghdad today.
Well, exactly. It's admitted that CIA officers are actually there overseeing. So they're the controllers, they're the trainers, they say what to do, and everyone out of hand is tortured one way or another. And then the Army's own report of now 3 years ago admits, or almost 3 years ago, that 75 to 90% are innocent of even the smallest crimes. They're being picked up because their papers aren't in order at checkpoints. Women, and the General Tagumbu report, Army report, admits that women are raped in front of their husbands. A lot of people have been beaten to death. They also put them on ice and ship them out to have their organs harvested.
Alex, where can people get the documentation? Because what you're saying, I know, I believe, and I know it's true, but where can they get the documentation of what you're saying?
Sure. What I'm going over is, at the end of my film, Martial Law, the extra for the film is about 20 minutes long, and it's all about torture, and it's all the news articles, it's all the documents, it's the photos that we can show people, a lot worse than a lot of the stuff you see on the news. That was the milder stuff, the dogs biting people and showing people up from beating them without the deadening being injected into the localized anesthesia, I believe is the term.
The local anesthesia is the term.
Yeah, and so they have all of this going on, and it's just from years of study. And, again, it's in the General Tagumbu report. If you type in, he's an American general. People would not know that because he has a foreign name. He's a Puerto Rican. Excuse me, not a Puerto Rican. He's a what's the Pacific coaling station? I'm missing the Philippines. He's a Filipino American. General Tagumbu was dispatched by the Army right when the scandal broke. They did the interviews. It's admitted, and it's a lengthy report. And one of the places you can find it is Newsweek Online at MSNBC.
Now, is this in your Terror Storm video, or is this in a previous video?
This is in Martial Law.
Martial Law. Okay.
Martial Law, we spend about, again, on the extra on the DVD, about 20 minutes on this subject. But it's also in Terror Storm. But in Terror Storm, we cover such a wide variety of issues that we just spend about 5 minutes on torture. And in that, we show the John Yoo memo written for the then chief counsel to the president, now attorney general, where they state that they can torture children in front of their parents with pliers.
Now, of course, John Yoo is an official there in the Department of Justice, isn't he?
Yes, he was. Now he's in private practice. He left in 2005. He stayed on a little bit from the first administration.
But he's written extensively and put out various directives on how legitimate torture is, and it's perfectly all right to torture people. And he was writing these, of course, when he was in the government.
Yes, his superior, Gonzalez, said that we can waterboard people and torture them and pull their fingernails out, and if organ failure happens, you know, it's not our fault, and it's not torture. We can kill somebody if it's an accident. And then you went further and wrote that the torture of children sexually is permissible, and that has been in a whole bunch of newspapers, and we show screenshots of newspapers and major national magazines, and then we show John Yoo's actual memos. If you type in John Yoo torture memos into a search engine, they'll come up.
All right. I think it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you find that you check this out and find it's true, and I believe it is true, and I believe that this sort of thing has gone on. And my question is, where is the outcry from our Christian leaders in this country? And I will tell you one thing. Many of these Christian leaders are getting millions of dollars every year from the faith-based program that the president has established. And, you know, if you're getting millions of dollars from the government, are you really going to speak out against it? All you need to do is realize what happened in Hitler's Germany. We carry a book, as written by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who's the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, where he talks about what happened in Hitler's Germany, and 90% of the ministers, the Protestant ministers in Hitler's Germany, went right along with the government. Why? Because they were getting money from the government. Could that really happen in America? And if these things are really going on, you know, why aren't our Christian leaders speaking out? And why are they just attacking anybody who brings these things up? Alex Jones is not a radical left-winger, nor am I. I think he is very concerned about human or inhumanity and what's going on.
I remember
on.
Being on your show, Dr. Monteith, 10 years ago, you know, decrying Bill Clinton. Whether it's Bill Clinton or George Bush, it's like Carol Quigley at Georgetown, Bill Clinton's mentor, you know, said in Tragedy and Hope and said in speeches, they own both parties. They own the communists. They own the fascists. They own the power. And listen, John, you, I have trouble believing this, too. I mean, my soul, my brain, my intellect doesn't want to believe it. It's so alien to, you know, to a somewhat normal person. None of us are perfect. But, I mean, it's so extreme. I interviewed Professor Castle, who was at the Council on Foreign Relations meeting early this year, and there was over 500 members of the CFR at the second biggest branch. The New York branch is the biggest. The second biggest meeting hall is in Chicago. And Professor Castle, who's a CFR member, you know, he's an elitist, he snuck in with a recorder. At first he would known up to being the one that recorded it because they're secret meetings, but then he released it later. He just said, okay, I did it, and I interviewed him, and it went all over the web and got picked up by a few mainstream newspapers. And he said to John Yoo, he said, Mr. Yoo, you wrote that you can torture children, that that's permissible. You know, does the president have that power? And John Yoo said, yes, the president can do that.
Now, of course, was he actually debating John Yoo, or was John Yoo just...
No, John Yoo was there. He was having an argument with him.
All right.
As part of the CFR meeting.
All right, fine. And so basically, much of this is in the video, The Terror Storm, and Alex is going to tell you how to get that later. And you actually have part of the recording there of what actually took place at the CFR meeting?
Yes, if you go to prisonplanet.com and just type into the search engine John Yoo, or just type it into the web, type in John Yoo, prisonplanet.com. You will get my website and links to the original stories and the audio and my interview with the professor after he confronted John Yoo from my syndicated radio broadcast. In the film, Terror Storm, we cover so many issues that torture itself is 5 minutes, and in John Yoo is about 60 seconds, and we just show the couple of newspaper articles and John Yoo's face and a shot of the memo. I mean, the memos are official. It's been admitted. It's part of the torture memos. There's three memos by Gonzalez, two memos by Yoo, and then several other memos by the Deputy Attorney General, all saying the same thing, that basically they can do whatever they want. And so whenever Rumsfeld said the gloves are off, this is what it manifested into. But all of that is available. All of that is on record. And again, I'm glad you're focusing in on this and think this is a big deal. I mentioned this on other shows that even agree with me, and they just kind of glaze over it. This goes to the heart of the mindset of these individuals. But, you know, while we're talking about child abuse, take the Chicago Tribune, also about 6 months ago, and I forget the exact headline, but it admits word for word that DynCorp, now owned by Computer Science Corporation, heavily involved with the NSA, and, of course, Halliburton's KBR, Kellogg, Brown, and Root, are running white slavery rings in Central Europe. That's already been big news, but then now they're running them in the Middle East. And when we get back, I will tell folks that what they're doing out in the open involved with child kidnapping, and it was in the Chicago Tribune.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that this strikes at the very heart of the concept of we're a Christian nation. Would a Christian nation do this? Would Christian leaders allow this to be done? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go ahead, Alex. Pick the story up there.
Well, absolutely, sir. Thank you. And of course, I got some stations to rejoin us, some that don't carry this. I'll have to recap. But, a lot of times every day I'm shocked because, I know how evil these people are, and I know it's been in the BBC and the foreign press that DynCorp was found civilly guilty in 2000 because UN officials and their own DynCorp employees reported on how they were loading thousands of women and children to work in sweatshops, but also for sex slavery, many of them, to be flown all over the Orient and all over the Middle East. Saudi Arabia, Israel, they're all big consumers of sex slaves. And so I knew this was going on, but I was shocked to see a Chicago, there was actually two articles, one of them because the governor brought it up and said that he thought it was horrible for some reason, thank God. But I don't know why a governor's doing it instead of the executive or other organization. But there were two articles in the Chicago Tribune spurred by the governor's comments in a speech. And it's the fact that Halliburton's KBR division and DynCorp, a division of Computer Science Corporation based here in Austin, and I have, by the way, been threatened for talking about this. This is one thing where you get the threatening phone calls, and I don't care. I'm not going to shut up about it. But because it was in the Chicago Tribune, and that is that Halliburton and DynCorp have actual full-time lobbyists just lobbying on Capitol Hill to not have laws enforced by the military where they're running a lot of these sex slave operations. They're using the bases to funnel them out, and that it's involved in hundreds of thousands of women and children out of Central, out of Eastern Europe, and out of the Middle East and Central Asia. And it is a massive industrial operation. Imagine actual lobbyists, they're on Capitol Hill lobbying for the sex slave trade. To have non-enforcement of existing laws. And Cynthia McKinney, who they demonized and drove out of office now for a second time, I have a hearing with her a year and a half ago where she brings this up to Rumsfeld, and Rumsfeld doesn't even deny that DynCorp is involved in this. She says, why are they still getting contracts? They're not supposed to under federal law when they've been convicted or found guilty of something. And he said, well, we put them in a penalty box. And she said, no, they haven't even been put in the penalty box. So when we think about the manifest, manifold, open wickedness being practiced for all to see, it dwarfs any amount of Baal worshippers burning their children on altars. I mean, this scares the daylights out of me. I mean, that's the hubris of these people, is they're operating right out in plain view.
And I think it's so vitally important that the American people understand that, you know, if they really were concerned about this, we'd see this on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, night after night after night after night. And
well,
what
exactly
do we see night after night? We see, oh, the obesity epidemic. Oh, my goodness, the obesity epidemic. Or, you know, what about that bird flu? Of course, that was about 2 months ago when they spent all of our time worrying about the non-existent threat of bird flu, focusing our attention on unimportant issues, but not focusing our attention on the total moral depravity that exists in Washington, D.C., and that allows sex slavery, that allows torture. And, of course, I fear that they have a very, very diabolical plan for America. And when we get back, I really want to talk a little bit about Halliburton, which is, of course, Dick Cheney's old company, and the fact that they have received $385 million for building detention camps in the United States of America. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Alex is simply talking about the sex slavery trade involving hundreds of thousands of women throughout Asia, throughout the Middle East, and certainly involving our good friends in Saudi Arabia. And everything is being done to keep the truth away from the American people. In fact, Alex was even saying that they have lobbyists in Washington, D.C., to prevent anything from being done to stop this sex slave trade. Would you like to just mention that again quickly?
Yes. The Chicago Tribune reported 6 months ago in two different reports that Halliburton and DynCorp, respectively, each have a full-time lobbyist on Capitol Hill lobbying for Congress Armed Service Committee to block branches of the armed services from criminally prosecuting this activity that is being funneled through many U.S. bases in Eastern Central Europe, the Middle East, and Central Asia. and it is a giant industrial operation, and it goes to the heart of just the dark souls of the people that are running our society. They have absolutely no regard for humanity, absolutely no regard for free humanity. They are truly demons.
And, of course, if you ask where is the majority of the heroin that is being used throughout Europe and Russia coming from, it's coming from the country that we control, Afghanistan.
That's right. They cut it down to almost nothing, and now it's at record bumper crop, breaking records every year since the liberation 5 years ago.
And, of course, when the wicked Taliban were there, well, they pretty cut back on the production of heroin. But, of course, that cut into the Central Intelligence Agency's trade. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the Central Intelligence Agency is the largest purveyor of heroin and opium throughout the world. And they use that to raise money for their block operations and for their certainly the replacement of various government leaders throughout the world. And if you don't believe that they kill government leaders throughout the world, you need to read the book written by John Perkins, who is part and parcel to this whole movement. And, of course, if you doubt very much that what he's saying is true, go up on the State Department webpage, and they have a place there for disinformation or misinformation. And what do they have there? Why, they list, there are these kooks who say Osama bin Laden was financed by the CIA. There are people who say that John Perkins' book is true. There are people who said that the AIDS virus was created here in America. How ridiculous all of those statements are.
You know what else they say? The State Department says it's an urban legend that the communist Chinese government kills political dissidents and harvests their organs. But then the BBC, Sky News, and ITN in the last few months have all gone in, it was already known beforehand, and walked into the government hospitals and clinics and said, I want organs, where do they come from? And with hidden cameras, they say, we kill the prisoners, and it's a year-plus waiting list for a kidney or a liver here in this country. It's 2 weeks in China. They have people literally warehoused, many cases for, quote, petty crimes or secret Christianity or secret Buddhism, secret Shintoism, and, I mean, any religion, the Falun Gong, which you really can't even call a religion. It's like an exercise, weird meditation thing, very nonviolent. And they like them especially because they don't drink or smoke and only eat organic food, and they exercise, so they love them. And they warehouse them and tissue type them, I had read, not just their blood type. And so literally you might stay in jail till 5 years, or it might be 2 days, till some elitist needs your blood type and your tissue type, and they literally harvest you like a hog.
And it's so difficult for people to understand that this is the country that we're building up. And with loans from the World Bank, which we finance, and the International Monetary Fund, which we finance.
It has like an 11% growth rate each year. It openly is threatening to attack us. Last year, the head of the Chinese military called a press conference, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, ABC News in attendance, and said, here are 200 U.S. cities. He said 214, and he said, we're targeting them all with Long March 2s. And he said, if you get involved in any of our affairs, or if you get involved in any of our national interest, we will preemptively kill all of you. Do you understand? And that was in the Times of London. That was all over the Asian press, but you never heard about it here.
Now, of course, the thing is that it is the American banks, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Morgan Chase, certainly investing literally hundreds of billions of dollars over there, building up the best enemy money could buy in preparation for what I believe is the coming Third World War. And I think we should even be very, very concerned. I hope you go to Google and check this out on the Internet. The fact that Halliburton, Dick Cheney's old company, has been given $385 million.
Let's talk about that when we get back. That was in the Houston Chronicle.
$385 million to build detention camps in America. Now, why would they want to give Halliburton $385 million to build detention camps in America? You could check it out. George Bush has said, we can't round up the illegal aliens and ship them home. So if we can't ship them home, who are they building those detention camps for? Could it really be true? Well, this is Arthur Standback here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Alex Jones, and Alex has his own radio program heard all across the country, and certainly one of the great leaders of this conservative movement, trying to get people to understand what's really going on, and that is we are involved in a fight against organized evil, and there really is organized evil out there. Their intent is to declare a dictatorship in America and, of course, to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. Go ahead, Alex. Pick the story up.
That'd be a good name for a film. I might name my new film I'm making Organized Evil.
Huh. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's really what we're talking about tonight. Well, you mentioned Halliburton. So many things come and go and kind of just get glazed over. And if we go back to 1986 in some Senate hearings that I happen to have a clip of in one of my films, Police State 2, The Takeover, they bring up the fact that Rex 84 came out in the news and that it was a play on the surface to incarcerate a massive third world influx of immigrants. But that was only the cover. The real reason for it was to incarcerate political dissidents inside the United States, similar to the Trading with the Enemy Act, or before that, the Enemy and Sedition Act, and now H.R. 6166, very, very similar to the Enabling Act that Hitler used, even more egregious than some of the previous things we've seen in this country that have later been universally decried. And so, we knew that FEMA, I remember a Newsmax article about 4 years ago, and Newsmax had to say, of course it's a real article. Their listeners couldn't believe it. And that was concerning, the fact that right after 2001 attacks, the government paid masses of money for 3 1-million-man camps to be built. And then it came back into news with another large federal grant to Halliburton to build these emergency centers, and it was in the Houston Chronicle. They said 4 illegal aliens during a crisis and 4 political dissidents. I believe the term they used were, I don't have the article in front of me, but it said U.S. citizens and gave it some little verbal flourish. And there it is in plain view. I mean, that doesn't really scare me of them. I don't want to do their job and scare people for them, because that's what they try to do, go around as a lion roaring, seeing who they may devour. But it scares me to not take enough action. I'm concerned that I'm not fighting hard enough.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment with Alex Jones. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Alex Jones. And before we go on, Alex, I want you to get your telephone number. I want you to get your website out there so people will know how to get your latest video, Terror Storm. I think it's a great video. We want everybody to see it. And, of course, your other videos as well. But how can they get to your website? How can they see Terror Storm, which you have up there? They can look out for nothing. And then, hopefully, if they want to, they can get a copy of it.
Well, sure. The DVD is out. It's right under 2 hours long, the film itself, with 68 minutes of extras from a powerful internationally covered conference we had in L.A. a few months ago concerning 9/11. 2 hours of it were carried by C-SPAN nationally. It caused quite a reverberation. But Terror Storm covers the history of government-sponsored terror first, all of the declassified admissions where our government and other governments stage terror attacks or military attacks against their own installations, their own people, or in some cases just claimed that we were attacked when we weren't, like Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam in 64, or you have in 39 Hitler claiming that one of his bases was attacked by the Poles, by the Polish, which never really happened, but that was how we launched that war. Oh, Poland, they've attacked us. We're now admitted to be totally staged. Then we cover London, how that was an inside job by British intelligence as a pretext to continue their police state and as a pretext to keep the Iraq war going.
And now you're talking about the 7/7 attack, aren't you?
Yes, the 7/7 attacks in London, then the 3/11 attacks in Madrid being state-sponsored attacks. And then we get into 9/11, the latest information. And then on top of that, we cover the propaganda, the fake news the White House bought illegally, $1.6 billion, buying off reporters, fake newscast. It's massive. Then we cover the torture, and we get into the NSA spying, Hayden. All of it is covered in Terror Storm. And the really exciting thing about it is, starting November 1st, almost every record store, video store in the country, other than like Walmart and Best Buy, but the Virgin Records, Barnes & Noble's, Terror Storm got picked up by a major distributor, and it's my first film that I've never sought out distributors. I probably should in the past, but you know, it's got a professional Hollywood score, professional music, professional high-definition cameras, shot the film. I mean, my other films are very informative and are, I believe, very good. Terror Storm is in a whole other class. And folks can go to InfoWars.com to order the DVD. It's $19.95, or they can call toll-free to get Terror Storm, 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. But my big call to action here is to go to PrisonPlanet.com, and I need you to do this today, tonight, tomorrow, folks. At the top of PrisonPlanet.com, Prison Planet, one word, up at the top it says, Terror Storm for free, pass this link around. This is so important. I uploaded the film the day we finished it 3 months ago for free before I even had the DVDs. It took a month to get those manufactured. I just got those 2 months ago. And we uploaded the film that cost me close to $100,000 to make. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just trying to underscore how important this is that we're even expending our capital without even having the intention of getting it back to continue. Even we have to, because the straits are so dire, the time frame is so short, the enemy is moving so fast. We're having such a great effect, though, as the enemy shows themselves. People that weren't listening now are listening. I should mention the good news after I finish this plug. But if you go to PrisonPlanet.com, the film is for free. It's on Google Video. It's pretty high quality. We did an excellent upload of it, and then they didn't compress it too much, so it looks good. And the reason we want to drive it up into the top 100 of Google Video is because in that top 100, millions of people go there for their TV viewing. Things have shifted, for those that don't know, who still watch television as their main mode. There are as many people spending as much time watching television online as there are watching mainstream television now. We just passed that Rubicon 3 months ago, and the government and the media and private consulting firms track all this. So when you're in the top, so of the top 100 videos in the internet world, with over 100 million people a week watching videos on Google Video, and that's an old number. This is growing exponentially. Being in that top 100, tens of millions potentially a week can watch it. Loose Change Second Edition went supernova and viral, literally, because it got into the top 100. We've now been in the top 100 three times. They've deleted us twice and admitted they knocked out our ranking. Cheating, and they said it was an accident. Google Video did. We're back in the top 100. If they're going to knock us out, we're going to make them do it in front of everybody. We need to drive it up to number one. It's been as high as 37, number 37 of the top videos on the planet. And so this is a great opportunity to seize the high ground and reach a lot of people that have never been exposed to the truth. This is absolutely integral towards our information warfare operations against the Antichrist world beast system.
And I think it's so important for our listeners to understand why there were no planes to defend either our nation's capital or New York City on 9/11. And, of course, the reason was that our fighter planes had been set off for exercises up in Canada and elsewhere. And, of course, that morning they were actually holding exercises, military exercises that simulated planes being hijacked and actually flown into our buildings. And so the flight controllers at FAA and at NORAD had no idea whether this was real or this was simulated. In fact, you can read the whole description of what happened. Actually, the tapes are up on Vanity Fair magazine for the month of September. And the air traffic controllers at NORAD are saying, look, is this real? Is this really a hijacking? Or is this part of the exercise?
By the way, Vanity Fair did two good pieces in a row. And I actually, in New York, met the writer of the second piece, whereas 3 years ago Vanity Fair wrote a hit piece on me. They've got new management now. And, yeah, their head editor knows it's an inside job. That's another thing. More and more senior CIA individuals, former CIA, are going public. Another one, James Steele, quite famous, just went public today saying 9/11 is an inside job. He's a big Republican. So.
But now, she was a former CIA agent?
Yes.
Well, of course, there's no question at all. In fact, Robert Baer, in his book entitled See No Evil, actually quotes one of the highest-ranking CIA officials as saying, when the dust finally clears, the American people realize what happened in 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. The American people will realize what happened on 9/11.
That's right. I know a good personal friend of Baer, and I've been trying to – I haven't been trying – I met one of his personal friends in New York who published his book, and he said that Baer would come on, and I'm an idiot. I need to call my publisher, who happens to be his publisher for Terrorstorm, and get him on. But, yeah, he told me in private, Baer comes right out with it and knows the whole thing's an inside job. Of course, Siriana is based on what really happened to him. They just changed the names.
That was, of course, George Clooney's film, Siriana, based upon the book See No Evil by Robert Baer. And what if you get him on, Alex? Why don't you give me the telephone number? I've been trying to get hold of him for a couple of years, just never got around to it yet.
Yeah, he lives in Colorado, and I was actually this is how busy I get. I have Robert Baer's, or what's his name? I forget.
Robert Baer's.
Robert Baer. I'm kind of tired today. I've done about 8 interviews. I had dinner with his publisher. He gave me his cell phone and home number on a card, and like a complete moron, I got back from New York and forgot to call him, and you just reminded me on air to do it.
All right, fine. Well, you do that, and then we'll want to do it as well. But, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, if this was an inside job, and you honestly believe that that Osama bin Laden was able to schedule the attack on the World Trade Center on the very morning that we were having these military exercises?
Oh, and by the way, the government for a year and a half claimed it was a rumor there were no drills, and then they had to admit in AP and USA Today that indeed there were drills of flying hijacked jets into some of the very same targets at the exact same time. The same thing we saw on 7/7 in London, with the train bombings and then the bus bombing, the exact same things, the government's running a drill of the exact same locations, exact same times being hit. And they do that for several reasons, to smoke screen, so if any of their operatives get caught by other compartments of the security apparatus who aren't part of the black op, they can just claim, oh, it was just a drill, just like Putin's people got caught planting hexagon plastic explosives in 99 during his presidential run in a fourth apartment building. And they told the Moscow police, it was just a drill. It's the same story. There's always a drill coinciding to basically bootleg the op. And the government also uses the funding for the drill to actually fund the real op.
Yeah, of course, I think for our listeners who don't know what happened on 7/7 in London, but, of course, there were a number of buses where there were these explosions going off. And we were told, of course, that there was these wicked Islamic hijackers there who wanted to blow themselves up, which I don't believe is true, because the explosions came from not within the bus, from under the bus.
That's right.
And you see the floors blown up, and the London police would not allow anybody to take pictures. Why? Because we can't let the people of England or the people of America realize this is all a scam. And the 600,000 people who've died in Iraq, the 600,000 civilians, at least that's the latest figure from Johns Hopkins University, 600,000 people have died for absolutely nothing. Is that why this last week, why the Bush family bought almost 100,000 acres of land in Paraguay, which has no extradition treaty? Are they worried about the war crimes charges that have been brought by the International Red Cross against George Bush for crimes against humanity? I have to ask yourself, are they worried?
I think it's probably an insurance policy. You know, I mean, this is, listen, they're going for broke. And let me tell you something about the Bushes. They were the main U.S. nodes. I know you know this, Dr. Monteith, if your listeners have missed it. The main U.S. nodes for Fritz Thiessen, the man who wrote the book, I Paid Hitler, his chief financier, and they were the main Nazi agents when Fritz got in trouble at the end of the war to divvy up all the Nazi gold and diamonds, and that's where their original nest egg comes from. That's why they're such a mafia family. And so they have been the basically the little servants, the little waiter girl for the Nazis with Prescott, and so they understand about running to Latin America.
In fact, most of our listeners probably don't know that at the end of the Second World War, the CIA and MI6 helped 10 5,000 Nazis escaped to South America, Morton Bormann, and all of the major leading Nazis. Of course, they had their gold and silver and all the things there. There were only two of them ever caught. That was, of course, Eichmann and Klaus Barbie. They were caught by the Jews who wanted to track them down. All the rest of the other 10,000 lived out happily with the full support of the American CIA. Do you have to say, why would that happen? Because there was organized evil in our society at that time.
And by the way, Latin America, a lot of those countries they lived in, now Latin America is very Nazi. They just love it. I wasn't aware of that until recently. I talked about people that have been traveling down there and seeing it, and it's pretty bizarre that those people embrace that so much. But, I mean, this is real, folks, and 6166 is real. The torture's real, the open borders. We didn't talk about 4 weeks ago. They had the secret North American Union government meeting, and no one was allowed into it. They're building the NAFTA highway 3 miles from where I sit here in Austin, Texas. I mean, it's all happening. The New World Order is here, and that's the good news. Now that their program is out in the open, there's no more denial. There's no more excuse for denial. God's giving us a chance to repent and maybe give Nineveh a reprieve. And, you know, there's these phony paid-off churches telling folks to lay down, go along to get along, don't question. That really is a demonic doctrine. We need to stand and fight this thing now and have faith that we can bring these criminals to justice. And that's the best course. I mean, if we lay down to it, they're going to prevail, and it's going to be a very, very sad state of affairs. They've devalued the dollar down to almost nothing. They are looting the treasury. Trillions are missing from the Pentagon. I mean, this is just a score of crimes going on at every level, just a wild pell-mell orgy of gluttonous thievery and villainy going on, and that's because the enemies of humanity know that their time is short.
Well, I think that, Kirsten, they are moving very, very fast to consolidate their authoritarian structure, and that's what the Military Commission legislation is about. And anybody who is critical of the government could be accused of giving help to Al-Qaeda.
But we can't let that intimidate us, because they are Al-CIA, they are Al-Qaeda, and we need to right now be bold and more upfront than ever. And, I mean, have you seen Keith Olbermann saying the country's dead and this is martial law, and Lou Dobbs? I mean, and there's also a big segment of the establishment that is freaked out and upset. All of us need to have courage right now and stand up like we've never done before, because I think a lot of this overreaching, you know, making a dictator act like a dictator, is actually going to backfire on these people.
And I think you're absolutely right. In fact, in this recording that Alex has of the hearings at the Council on Foreign Relations, the secret discussion they had where there's this debate with this former representative from the Justice Department, he started talking about the torture. Even some of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations were offended, weren't they?
Oh yeah, there was some hissing and some what? I mean, because, well, is it true you wrote you can torture children with pliers? And I'm not going to say doing what. And John, you said yes, the president has that power to order that.
And I think when we see people coming out of the CIA and admitting what's going on. When we see generals, and a number of our military generals have retired early so they could speak out against what's going on, you know that there are more and more people coming to our side who are concerned about this and realize that we're moving away from freedom towards a fascist society.
We're talking about killing America. And a lot of people who've been corrupt or good old boys or been involved in some evil, who've compromised their values in the name of, you know, being more evil than evil to protect good, that twisted logic, end justifies the means. They're finally realizing that no, the end is evil. You know, the means is evil, the end is evil, this is evil, this is bad for everybody, and there is a pulling back right now. There is a kind of a sucking in of air, and you know, they may be able to dumb down some of the general public, but a lot of people in intelligence and in security, they're not stupid, and they know organized crime. They know this isn't just organized crime. This isn't, you know, hijacking trucks because they're full of ECRs. This isn't even selling cocaine. I mean, this is white slavery. This is cancer viruses and vaccines and AIDS and This is mechanized human population reduction. This is black magic on steroids. This is devil's delight. I mean, this is just societies being decimated for the pleasure of the dark powers. I mean, this is Lord of the Sith type stuff. This isn't a joke.
Well, I really believe we're involved in a spiritual battle, certainly being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield, a battle for the souls of men, but this for the survival of Christian civilization. And there is an organized conspiracy against God. And there's an organized conspiracy to enslave the American people and to centralize all power with government in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave over there somewhere. But if we don't give up all of our freedom, if we don't allow torture and all these things, Osama bin Laden's going to take away our freedom. We'll be back in just a moment with Alex Jones to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Alex, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I need to get you back on mine very, very soon. I hope everyone will go to prisonplanet.com and help us get TerrorStorm out to everybody. I mean, if you've got a computer, you've got an email list, you've got neighbors, you can go to a message board, MySpace, whatever, please, I'm asking you, go to prisonplanet.com, get the link off the top of the main page. Send it out to everybody you know. Watch the film. Burn copies to disc. Buy the DVD. If you want to support us, get the DVD in high-quality digital quality with the 68 minutes of extra on top of the film, over 3 hours on one DVD, by calling 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or you can simply write to me. I'm Alex Jones at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. And, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv. I have all 15 of my films, my weekly TV reports, dozens of other films, over 1,000 pieces of media. It's 15 cents a day. A monthly membership is $5.95. And we only charge on the site so we can pay for our bandwidth and pay my webmasters and continue. That's why I put TerrorStorm out for free on Google Video. And please support Radio Liberty. Right now is the time. We could all do so much more with your support. I talked to a great individual in Pennsylvania, Joe, who did some great work to support us. And I talked to him tonight, and he said, say hi to Dr. Monteith. And that's how he learned about my show, my work. He said 4 years ago was listening to Dr. Monteith, or maybe he said 3 years ago. So we all work together. Please support Dr. Monteith. Please support our ministry as well. We're putting our lives on the line, folks, because we realize that if we don't hang together, we'll all hang separate.
And I think that's really so true. And certainly those people like Alex are out there. And if you don't believe that the people on the other side are ruthless and kill people, you never did hear the story about Gary Webb, who wrote a series of articles for the San Jose Mercury, Pulitzer Prize-winning author, who wrote a series of articles about the CIA and drugs. And he ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. This is a dangerous thing. Pray for Alex. Pray for his safety and certainly pray for those people who are on the front lines of this battle. We need your help and support Alex for what he's doing. Alex Jones, God bless you. Thanks so much. PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. Go there. Get his material. It's great material.
Thank you.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. That was Alex Jones, and I hope you enjoyed it. Certainly, Alex is certainly on the front lines of this battle. He's done a lot of great research. You check his research. I have, and I wouldn't put him on if I didn't find that his material is valid. It's information every one of you needs to know. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Alex Jones has a lot of great information on his website, PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. Go there. And then, of course, go to the original source material. And you'll find that it's accurate. Believe me, I checked his material out before I ever used any of it, and it's very valid. In fact, the story is really, in many ways, far worse than we've talked about tonight. If you'd like to know about Operation Paperclip, how we brought thousands of Nazi scientists to America, and, of course, how we brought 10,000 Nazi war criminals to South America, Why, of course, it's called Operation Paperclip. We actually have a four-tape set on the Operation Paperclip. You can go up on the Internet, type in Operation Paperclip. And then, of course, we have a great four-tape set of the Bohemian Grove. We actually have Alex Jones' a video on the Bohemian Grove. We snuck in there about 6 years ago. And you'll actually see the leaders of our country with their black robes and their black hoods and their candles and their simulated human sacrifice. You need to see it. It's really magnificently done. And, of course, they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have a great new video on what happened on 911. It's the story of the Jersey girls and the four women who lost their husband there in their quest to find out what really happened on 911. And as I pointed out, they'd simply taken all of our fighter planes that should have been guarding the nation's capital and sent them up into Canada. And then they held military exercises that morning. It's all described in Vanity Fair magazine, September. And you could actually read the transcript of the tapes that were recorded. And in fact, American Flight 11, which crashed into the North Tower, continued sending out transponder messages as it flew towards Washington, D.C. How could that possibly be? We saw the plane destroyed there. And yet, of course, they continued sending out transponder messages as the plane flew to Washington, D.C. It's all up there. Read it. And how could this possibly have happened? Obviously, nothing we've been told is really true. We carry the book, Hitler's Cross, by Erwin Lutzer, and it goes into, of course, what happened in Germany as Hitler used the Christian church there. And the ministers went right along with it. So, and then, of course, if you'd like to understand more about the danger of what giving $385 million to Halliburton, and check this out on the Internet under Google. Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps, that's what I would put in, and you'll find it's true. Ask yourself, what do you think they're going to do with those detention camps? Do you think they're ready for illegal aliens? The president said we can't round them up and send them home, so why are they building the detention camps? People say it couldn't happen here. We have something called a four-tape set on concentration camps, the concentration camp special. If there was ever a time for good people to be involved, it's now. And remember, when freedom fails, good men rot in filthy jails, and those who cry appease are often hanged by those they hope to please. So remember, of course, we're having on the next week from Sunday, on October 29th, an all-day seminar here in Santa Cruz at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. We hope many of you will be coming, and you're going to have your reservations in by Monday. Monday's the cutoff day, but if you're interested in coming, give us a call tonight at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, certainly... You can go to our website, but you're not going to get into the end of the meeting unless we have a reservation for you. We have to have it by Monday. So, again, 1-800-544-8927. We're serving lunch. It's got to be a great time. We're bringing in speakers from across the country. Do you value your freedom? Freedom is not free. If you're not willing to take a stand for it, who will be? And if not now, when? When it's too late? When we find out what they're really planning? If you doubt it, you need to get a concentration camp special. And here Congressman Gonzalez telling you, here, and you'll see him on film. Of course, there is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and put American citizens into concentration camps. That's the concentration camp special. And then please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And, well, hang on, we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. Well, this is Dr. Stanbecker at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America ordinarily at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but please hold your calls until we ask for calls, because we have this evening Chris Milligan of Trinday Press, and Chris prints books that nobody else will print. Why? Well, you have to understand that the media in America is very tightly controlled, and they have gone around and they bought up all the publishing houses, and as I very often try to track down books to get the authors here, we find out that the big publishers like Simon & Schuster and Random House have just bought up all the other publishing houses out there, and there are very few independent publishing houses. Why? Because they don't want you to have access to the books that will really tell you what's going on. Or, you know, many times they will actually take a book, they'll publish it, and then they won't circulate it. And we've seen this time and time again where they've either used one or another guise to, after they publish the book, not to put it out. I have one book called Crude Oil, where the author told me that he was told by the publisher they just weren't distributing the book after publishing 40,000 copies. Why? Because, of course, the book was the story of Afghanistan and the American attack on Afghanistan and the fact we intentionally did not try to capture Osama bin Laden. And he'd actually talked to the special forces people there who were not allowed to try to capture Osama bin Laden. Well, I thought that's why we went to war in Afghanistan. But as we say, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Well, our guest, Chris Milligan, has published one book which we really enjoy, and we think it's such an important book. It's by Colonel Daniel Marvin. It's called The Expendable Elite. And he has other books by Daniel Hopsiger. They're going in, of course, to the CIA and their involvement in the drug trade. And he's written a great book called The Fleshing Out of Skull and Bones, going into the Skull and Bones Society, that both the president and his opponent in the last election, John Kerry, happened to belong to this secret society that's so secret that they can't even discuss it. And you have to ask, where is the real allegiance? Is it to the United States, or is it to this secret society that's so secret they can't discuss it? Chris, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. And if I may, I'd like to read the foreword to the publisher's foreword to the new Victory edition of Expendable Elite. It's very apropos to what you just talked about.
All right, fine. Well, you get started, and then we'll get it. Go ahead.
Okay. It's called To Everything There Is a Season. And it's, what is it about a book? Why do they excite such passions? Burn them. Ban them, read them, write them, venerate them. We kill for them. We construct rooms around them. We mold lives around them. And they are sacred. They are profaned. Books are powerful. A book presents focused thought, the codified word that may burn one's soul. A book may change your life. A book is where the rubber hits the road. It takes conscious decisions, concerted effort, and a determined dedication to bring forth thoughts and ideas into something that you may hold in your hand. It is, at day's end, an act of creation. And as with any creature, a book may have a life of its own, maybe even a soul. This book, a modest venture, the simple telling of a soldier's war story, something as old as a campfire, where the young warriors learn from the victories and failures of yore.
We're going to have to interrupt you there, Chris. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Chris Milligan. He was certainly reading from the a fly leaf for the preface to this book, The Expendable Elite. Go ahead, Chris. I want our listeners to hear the rest of it. Go ahead.
Okay. Has become something more than what it began as. A crusade and a catharsis. a healing for souls ravaged from war, hiding from the savagery and brutal humanity behind a shield of camaraderie, loyalty, and bravado. A journey of truth hitting many rocky shores along the way, finally making its way to the ocean of common discourse, only to be challenged and set upon by lawyers, the seemingly preferred profession for 21st century book burners. You shall hopefully read the whole story in the pages that follow and be able to make up your own mind. Included in this book are the documentation, photos, etc., that display the forthrightness of this tale. Although it does have the elements, this is not an action story. It is a story to learn from, to learn the courage, the sacrifice, and the unheralded civic actions of our special forces, to learn the tenacity and the beauty of the Wahao people and culture, to learn that war is more than what is presented in history books, to learn that a country and our fighting men and women may be misled by our political leaders. Those who have been to war, to kill or to be killed, sometimes simply for an ideal, are truly the only ones who understand the actual reality of war, the decisions that must be made, the burdens that must be borne, the shock, the terror, the blood, the guts, the adrenaline, the smell. They understand the hypocrisy, the insanity of war that allows death and destruction to fester, that lies told by far-removed leaders may result in misery, mayhem, and murder for many. Was it just because Lieutenant Colonel Marvin let the air out of an old lie? Was that the reason for the attack on this book? Or was it more endemic to the special forces and their values and sensibilities? Or was there something deeper, a systematic avoidance of the truth, a routine obfuscation of past misdeeds, a sacrifice to the god of plausible deniability, secrecy for secrecy's sake? Federal District Court is no free lunch, and the Special Forces Association hired lawyers playing hardball till the end, even demanded a unanimous verdict. After we won, one of the plaintiff's attorney puts me on notice, threatening to sue us again using other members of Dan's team. What is going on?
Speaking Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Chris Milligan. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris is certainly reading the foreword to the latest edition of Colonel Marvin's book, which incidentally we carry because every effort has been made to suppress this book. It's called The Expendable Elite. And what it was done after the book was released, and it was really telling the story of Colonel Marvin's escapades when he commanded a special forces team of 8 or 9 men that was in the Wahao area on the border of Cambodia. And the Wahao were Buddhists. They were a Buddhist sect. And of course, he was sent in there to try to stabilize that area, to defeat the communists, to allow these people to live in peace. What happened when he was asked to actually murder the Prince of Cambodia. The CIA asked him to do that. He was asked to volunteer to do it. He offered to, but he certainly wanted something in return. The CIA refused to give it and told him that he couldn't beat the company, and they were going to get him. And they sent a battalion of soldiers to kill Colonel Marvin and his men. And it's an amazing story. It really is well worthwhile reading. It's an exciting story of heroism and of courage and bravery and of treachery. But because nobody would publish this book, and I think Colonel Marvin had tried for 10 years to get the story out, going into the background, the CIA really does go around killing world leaders. And, of course, our guest this evening, Chris Milligan, published the book. And after it had been distributed, why they were actually then sued by the special forces. I suspect they were financed by the CIA. That's how you silence a book. I've seen this done over and over again. You silence people by bringing them a lawsuit, and then you bankrupt them. And that's what they tried to do with Colonel Marvin and his publisher, Chris Milligan of Triune Day. Well, and fortunately, in this case, the good guys won a unanimous decision from the jury. The men had been threatened, who'd been in Colonel Marvin's unit, were threatened with the loss of their pensions if they didn't perjure themselves under oath. And when the people on the jury heard both sides, why they gave a unanimous decision in favor of Colonel Marvin and Chris Milligan. Is that pretty well the story, Chris?
In a good, strong nutshell, yes, indeed. Yes, it was an amazing experience to go through. Federal District Court is very, very interesting, and the jury saw right through, the baloney that the other guys were throwing.
But, of course, the thing is that the Central Intelligence Agency has to destroy anybody who tells the truth in America. Now, probably you never heard about this case across America. They don't want the story to get out about how courageous military officers who tell the truth will have be bankrupted. And incidentally, I want to point out that Colonel Marvin and Chris have, about $100,000 still in legal fees to pay?
Well, no, we pay it down. We send the money every month. Colonel Marvin works antique refinishing and refinishing of chairs and stuff like that, and we sell some books and other things and ask for donations and we send them some every month, and we've got it down to about, oh, goodness gracious, around 80,000.
Good. Well, we want our listeners to know that my wife and I have donated several times because we believe in what Colonel Marvin did and what Chris did in having the courage to publish a book that told the truth. There are lots of books out there, but there are very, very few that will really tell you the truth about so much of what's going on. And this is one of them, The Expendable Elite. We carry it. You'll find it fascinating. But was it Martha Ray who wrote the foreword to the book?
Yes, it is, and they attacked her mercilessly. It was just terrible. They had scheduled a witness who her job was to come and say that Martha Ray was illiterate and she couldn't write it, even though we had another book where Martha Ray also wrote the foreword, and then there's also books that Martha Ray had written.
And so they got people to perjure themselves. That's really what's so terrible about this whole thing. And they will stop at nothing to conceal the truth, and, of course, to punish anybody who dares to tell the truth. And that's why, Alex Jones, those of you who heard our last program, he's on the front lines of this battle. We're on the front lines of the battle. And that's why we ask for your prayers and for our provision and for our protection. And
you're one of the hardest working guys in I don't know if this classifies as show business, but
it is show business. It's show biz, but it's not simply for entertainment, because we don't make any money at all off of this. We do this because we want to save America. We want to preserve this heritage of freedom that we inherited from generations past, for generations yet unborn. The question is, are there enough Americans who really value freedom, who put their lives on the line along with you and Colonel Marvin and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and the others are out there, Butch Palm, certainly Chuck Chrismeyer, John Leffler, the others are friends who are out there using talk radio and other means to try to educate the American people, to make them understand that freedom is not free. And once lost, will never be regained. Well, anyway, would you like to tell us a little bit about the trial and what happened?
Well, like I say, we prevailed, and that was very, very good. The trial got strung out. They, played every trick they could. Got a mistrial in the first one, so we even had to spend more money and come up with more money to stay alive.
Because what they kept, they got one of the lawyers just said, "Oh, I'm sick, I can't be here," knowing full well it was going to cost them twice as much money to defend themselves after coming down to the place where the trial was held. And of course, having to pay for the two lawyers who were there to defend them, and then of course they played every trick in their bag of tricks. Yeah, to make it as expensive and difficult, but of course they really wanted to bankrupt them. And when your government will do this sort of thing, why, no man's life or property is safe. And it's not that there aren't wonderful people in the government. We have the most wonderful form of government. We have a constitution that limits the power of government, and there's no place in that constitution that allows for the Central Intelligence Agency to do what it's doing. this whole thing is unconstitutional. Let's take America back and get back to our Constitution and limit the power of the central government so you can't have wicked people who can target patriotic people who are trying to save America. That's what it's about.
Absolutely, absolutely, you know. And we're doing lots of things. There's many things that keep popping up and land on my desk because, you know, we are a republic, and when parts of the republic don't do their job, like, you know, the basic publishing houses in New York, the stuff has to, you know, somebody has to do it, and I mean, and it finds a place, and we have a story that is coming out. A journalist has been working for 4 years, and had a major agency in New York, and was peddling the book to everybody in New York, and worked on a good 10,000 word article. And we're going to...
basically what happened is nobody would take it. And I'll tell you what this book is about. Anyway, everybody is up in arms about this Congressman Foley, who is making a very improper solicitation of the pages back there. And then we find out this man, who is a Republican congressman, and is in charge of really pushing family values for the Republican Party, is himself a homosexual and a pedophile. So when we find this out, of course, everybody is just up in arms, and isn't this just terrible? But the truth of the matter is that there's a significant number of people in both parties who are homosexuals and pedophiles and into all sorts of sexual aberration, and that this book really deals with the fact that of what goes on in Washington, D.C., behind the scenes, that you will never hear about. Why? Because of the total depravity of many people at the highest levels of our government. And this goes into the White House itself, not just under the Republicans, but under the Democrats as well. And no publisher dares publish something of that sort, because they'll come after him. Now, you have to understand that today, why 90 to 95% of all the major publishing houses are owned by one of five mega corporations. That's covered in a book we carry called The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bagdakian, who's been following this story since 1983. Professor at University of California in Berkeley, and he's followed it in 1983. There were 50 corporations that dominated the American media. Today there are five. Why don't we ever talk about that? Why, very simply, because the media is controlled, because you're not getting the truth about what's going on there. And, of course, so that's why, of course, books of the sort that Chris Milligan publishes through Triune Day, they can't get out. So when will this book be out on this massive pedophile ring that goes right into the highest echelons of our government?
It'll be out next fall. And we're going to be doing something different, though. We're going to take a large part of the publishing process and make it public, because this is a story that is much larger than myself, much larger than the author, and it's a story that people have tried to bring out before, and people have brought out parts of it before. But it gets stopped at mainstream levels and gets shut down. And so we're going to be creating some internet presence and other things. I'll tell you more about it later.
All right, fine. You have to understand this involves some of the most wealthy and powerful men in America who are not politicians. And, of course, John DeCamp wrote a book about this. It was called The Franklin Cover-Up, and it sold over 100,000 copies. John DeCamp, I haven't been able to get him on the program. I have been able to get on Ted Gutterson and work with him. And of course, I have no question this is real. But we can't let the American people know. They might realize that you really can't trust the government. Well, go ahead, Chris. Pick up the story.
Well, like I say, a lot of other people have tried to bring this story before, including, I'm sure, you know, people out there on the Internet. You can find a film called Conspiracy of Silence, which was done for Yorkshire Television. and it was going to be on the Discovery Channel. As far, I mean, it was listed, and then it got pulled, and many of the copies were destroyed, and then a pre-production copy was sent over here, and then copies were made, and it was sent around, and then with the internet, it was put up there, and there's quite a bit of discussion on this particular subject, but it doesn't jump over. I mean, we even have a situation where ABC spent a lot of money on, you know, conceivably they said they were doing a gonna do stories about it, and one thing they did proceed to do was they proceeded to take a lot of material and some of it original investigative material from Mr. DeCamp and other people, and then they never returned it. And
they never put out the documentary either.
No, they didn't.
And this is the sort of thing that they've done over and over again. I can remember years ago when I was first getting started back in the early 1980s when I learned about a very expensive film on the influence of the KGB, the Soviet secret police here in the United States. And ABC put out $100,000 to produce that film. And when it was all done, and the people who had done this were just so pleased with their job, ABC announced it would never be shown in the United States. It was shown in other countries, but never allowed to be shown here because they had the rights to it. People say, why would they do that? We have to understand it's all about controlling our reality. When you understand that, so much of what's going on really begins to make sense. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 if you'd like to call. And, but anyway, of course, now you are really going to then try to get this information out far and wide when it's available. Is that right?
Yes, because the amount of documentation, and then there is the matter of the kids, and they have used some very, you know, national known organizations as a repository to get children.
I heard that they'd use Boys Town. Is that
right,
true?
Right. And we tracked down a bunch of these children. They aren't children anymore. I mean, you know, some of them, you know, in their 30s and 40s.
And they were actually gotten out of Boys Town, this town that for orphans, and everybody thought it was so noble and so wonderful. Oh, they're helping these little boys. And they were using that as a recruiting ground for the pedophiles.
Yes, and you have kids that know deference, and it's much easier for to take these kids in for these parties than just picking up kids off the street, because they're sometimes a little bit wilder, and but you know, I mean, I spent much of the day today listening to interviews that the author has done with, you know, he's tracked down some of the students at Boys Town that were on the planes with Mr. King and went to the parties.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Arthur Stan here. Our guest is, of course, Chris Milligan. And if you'd like to talk to him, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And there was a gentleman named King. Was he actually sent to prison for his involvement in this massive pedophile ring?
No, they put him on ice for a while, said he was crazy, and then he got charged with, you know, he stole a whole bunch of money out of the out of a credit union called the Franklin Credit Union, and he got some time in jail for that.
Now, is that what's known as the Franklin cover up? That was the title of John DeCamp's.
Yes, and you know, we've looked a lot at that, and we found that it hooks up to a lot of other things, and then there's other many Franklins that have happened other places around the country, and they always get shut down really, really quick. But since there was some a Senate committee in Nebraska and a couple grand juries and we've had got access to most of their material.
In other words, they were investigating this massive pedophile ring, of course, it was recruiting these boys to take them, and many times even kidnapping them from homes and taking them off to Washington, D.C. and other places for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, and I mean, and I know we have testimony going back into the early 80s of it, and we just have a few airplane things, about 250 of them. And half of them have information that talks about how much they cost, and on that it's like $830,000+, and they're, you know, they're going to Washington D.C.
$830,000 for what, Chris?
For planes.
Oh, okay.
For renting Lear jets and for planes for taking these kids to these parties in a lot in New York, New Orleans.
Did any of them get to the Bohemian Grove out here on the Pacific?
They would go by San Francisco at times and Wyoming and other places it's very interesting, the documentation, and then when you start seeing, you know, what the kids actually, you know, say, and I mean, how much and how.
What happened to these kids? A lot of them just become derelicts.
Some of them have become derelicts. Others have, put it aside looked at it as just something they did in high school, and have gone on and. You actually find them on both sides, but you do find quite a few of them get very, very damaged and get caught up with drugs and other things such as that.
Chris, the thing is that if these things are really going on in America, why are we so upset about Congressman Foley? Now, not that we shouldn't be upset about him, but we focus our attention on Congressman Foley, and I dare say that not one in a thousand Americans have heard of the Franklin cover-up, John DeCamp's book. Incidentally, it certainly cost him his profession. He was threatened. They threatened to kill his children. He was a lawyer practicing in Indiana where he was from?
No, in Nebraska.
Nebraska. He had to move his whole family. I've heard John DeCamp talk. He's very, very convincing. I think he's very sincere. His book has sold over 100,000 copies. But most people have never heard of it. And he tells the story about one time, you know, when his kids were playing out the front yard, and a couple of thugs drove up, grabbed the little dog they were playing with, ran him over a couple of times, and said, "Tell your dad the next time it'll be his kids. It'll be you kids," if he keeps on pursuing this story. And, of course, John DeCamp then had to move his family out into this little tiny town in the heartland of Nebraska, where he lives today. He's an attorney. But, of course, he fears for his life and the life of his family. We're talking about something not imaginary. We're talking about very real, because this actually involves some of the most wealthy and most powerful men in America today. And so everybody's so upset about Congressman Foley, and they're simply playing games with our minds. It's the ultimate in hypocrisy. And as long as we can keep our attention focused on a non-issue, the major issue, and we're talking about literally hundreds and hundreds of young boys, of course, recruited into this a depravity in America. And, of course, it's been going on for a long period of time. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Chris Milligan of Triune Day. And, of course, when we get back, we'll just tell you about his website, how you get in touch with him. We do carry a number of his books here at Radio Liberty. However, we think it's important not only that he publishes a book, but that we help him get them distributed. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, would you like to tell us about some of the other books that you've actually published and that are available through Triune Day?
Well, there's Barry and the Boys by Mr. Hopsicker, And I always recommend that people go by Dan's site, madcowprod.com. He writes a new story every week or couple of weeks or so, and he uncovers amazing stories that you never hear about in the mainstream news, and he needs your support, too. I mean, you know, what has happened is that the investigative reporters, have had to, you know, go to the Internet and hawk their wares, their books, their videos and stuff to stay alive. But they give us some very good information, and we, the people, have created, you know, Dr. Stan, yourself, and other people have created our own information network. And this information network is educating the American people. That is one reason why, you know, I was able to go to South Carolina. These people, you know, felt, hey, you know, we'll take them to court.